So today's class will be given by His Grace Advaita Chandra Prabhuji. The topic is Glory of Bhugarbha Goswami and Bilwa Mangal Thakur. So Prabhuji, I hand over the call to you. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Ruttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, today we will discuss on the glories of Srila Bhugarbha Goswami and Srila Bilwa Mangala Thakur. Generally about both of them there is not much written, but whatever understanding we have, information we have, we'll try to share and learn from their life how to apply these teachings of their example in our life. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Just like there is very little mentioned in the scriptures about the life of Srila Lokanath Goswami, who was the spiritual master of Narottam Das Thakur. And he was considered one of the senior Goswamis, senior in terms of the time that they spent in Vrindavan Dham. Similarly, Bhugarbha Goswami, also very little is written. Both Bhugarbha Goswami and Lokanath Goswami were very good friends. It's considered that they were one heart and mind. This is real friendship in spiritual life. When we have Krishna in the center, then there is no ego. Because that ego sometimes becomes, if it's based on false ego, if our friendship is based on false ego, then it just becomes like, you scratch my back, I scratch your back. And as long as we are doing that, we are friends. As soon as I don't get anything that I need from you, You go your way, I go my way. But when Krishna is in the center, then we are able to become patient with each other. We are able to understand that this must be an inspiration coming from Krishna. This is what this person is a devotee. He is keeping Krishna in the center. I should keep Krishna in the center too. And the way I treat people around me is the way I treat Krishna. Because sometimes Krishna comes in terms of, in the Vrajadham, when Krishna was performing his pastimes, devotees did not know that he is Krishna, that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But they were still treating him with so much love and affection. That's natural because we are part and parcels of Krishna. But still, it is said the way we treat people around us is the way we will treat Krishna also. Because if Krishna comes and starts residing with us where we are, of course Krishna is always residing with us, but if he's residing with us in a way that we are as like we are living with our family members, then will we be able to change our lifestyle? Will we continue living the same lifestyle that we are living now? And then slowly, if that lifestyle is based on sense gratification, then Krishna, we will start feeling Krishna as a hindrance, just like we feel other friends of ours as hindrance in our sense gratification or our lifestyle. So the way we treat people around us, we should remember, if we stay with Krishna, that's how we are going to treat Krishna also. And is that fair? Is that what we want as a devotee? And so when we have friendship based on spiritual life with Krishna in the center, when both the friends think the purpose is to help each other serve Krishna, then we are able to respect each other, then we are able to help each other in each other's service, celebrate each other's success, and glorify each other on those aspects. So similarly, Srila Lokanath Goswami and Bhugarbha Goswami, they were of one heart and mind. They had their relationship based on true ego. They had come to Vrindavan on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Bhugarbha Goswami, he was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivas Adi, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. This is Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Gadadhar Pandit, who is the incarnation of Srimati Radharani's effulgence, was the guru of Sri Bhugarbha Goswami. And Bhugarbha Goswami had few disciples, not many, but they were very, very great disciples. Sri Govinda Dev, Mukundananda Chakravarti, Premi Krishnadas, and all of them. In fact, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written about Bhugarbha Goswami, that he was the 11th branch of Gadadhar Goswami. And 12th branch was Bhagavat Das. And both of them went to Vrindavan and resided there for life. This is what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes. In fact, in Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, which is written by Sri Kavi Karnapura, he has described there who was who, who's who of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Who is in the spiritual world, what is their original position? He has described all of that based on his vision. And this Kavi Karnapura, he was actually the son of Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen was very, very devoted to Lord Chaitanya. He was the one who would arrange all the yatras. And these yatras were not very easy to manage when Lord Chaitanya would, when the devotees of Bengal, every year during Rath Yatra, they would want to come and meet Lord Chaitanya from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. Now we can go in one night train journey, but those days it would take months. And then on the way they have to cross several states, and they had to pay taxes and tolls. And so many people going together. It was the, at that time, the rulers of Bengal were Muslims. They did not like that people are going to, for religious purposes. People are gathering in hundreds and going for religious purposes. So they would pay, they would have to give heavy tolls and taxes and answer all these people who wouldn't understand the purpose of their going to Jagannath Puri. All of this had to be managed by Shivananda Sen. So he was like the servant of the servant. He was very rich and aristocratic, and he would use all his money in the service of the Lord. His son, such a pious, great devotee, his son was Sri Kavi Karnapura. He was actually given this name, Kavi Karnapura, by Srila Swarup Damodar, because he was a very good poet even at the age of 7, actually. Sri Kavi Karnapura, he received the mantra directly from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we'll have glories of Sri Kavi Karnapura at some other time. The point we came to Kavi Karnapura was that he has written this book, Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, where he has described who is who from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And he says that Bhugarbha Goswami, formerly, he was a gopi named Prema Manjari in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, this gopi, Prema Manjari, is very, very intimate to Sri Krishna. Bhugarbha Goswami, they were actually, his favorite deities, the name was Sri Sri Radha Chelchikan. Chelchikan means one who is very naughty. Chelchi. Chel means he makes fun of people like that. Chelchi. Chelchikan. Sri Sri Radha Chelchikan. And earlier, these deities of Srila Bhugarbha Goswami were worshipped in Chelchikan Kunj, near Radha Damodar temple. But over several years, they are right now being worshipped in Sri Sri Radha Damodar temple itself, which was established by Srila Jiva Goswami, which is the same temple where Srila Prabhupada stayed during his preparation before coming to the West. This is the same place where there is Srila Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. And Srila Prabhupada, he would, every morning, he would come and he would clean Srila Rupa Goswami's Samadhi, praying to him, please, please empower me to go to the West and preach. In fact, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had given this order to go to the West and preach to many of his disciples. But Srila Prabhupada took this order as his heart and soul. And he wanted to actually do this. So he came to the West and he was praying. Before he came here, he prayed so hard. He would pray to Advaita Acharya in Shantipur. He would pray to Srila Rupa Goswami in Radha Damodar temple. And in that same Radha Damodar temple where he had a small room, as soon as he would come out of the room, he could have darshan of Sri Sri Radha Damodar. And right there was Sri Sri Radha Chailchikan, the beloved deities of Srila Bhugarbha Goswami. Srila Bhugarbha Goswami and Lokanath Goswami were regarded as among the principal Goswamis because they were senior by age and they were very much experienced. In fact, there is a song by Narottam Das Thakur where he writes about Bhugarbha Goswami, because Bhugarbha Goswami was an intimate associate of Lokanath Goswami, the spiritual master of Narottam Das Thakur. So it was like he would consider him affectionately as a spiritual uncle. So Narottam Das Thakur writes, "O Hari, why am I addicted to this abominable path of karma? I did not worship Radha Krishna in Vraja even one iota, nor could I understand the position of spontaneous devotion, Raga Marga. Swarup Damodar, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami, Jiva Goswami and Lokanath Goswami, I never offered a drop of service to their lotus feet." So there are not just these six Goswamis of Vrindavan. There were so many Goswamis in Vrindavan, as we see here. We see here nine Goswamis at least. Swarup Damodar Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami. These are some of the Goswamis, but then Bhugarbha Goswami, Lokanath Goswami and Swarup Damodar Goswami are added also. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were the primary Goswamis because they came together and contributed to the mission of furthering the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Others also furthered the mission, but not in a preaching sense. They furthered the mission by their example. Like Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami. But the Sad Goswami, they are glorified in Sad Goswami Ashtakam, which is written by Srinivas Acharya, a friend of Narottam Das Thakur at that time. And that was the first time that we come to know about the Sad Goswami who contributed in this way. But otherwise, there are so many different Goswamis in Vrindavan. And here, Narottam Das Thakur, we see in his thing, he is in his songs, he is lamenting that I did not worship Radha Krishna. I did not perform any service to these devotees. Now, sometimes devotees ask, why is this? Narottam Das Thakur is one of our acharyas. We should follow his example. And if he himself is admitting that he has never worshipped Radha Krishna in Vraja, he has never performed Raganuga Bhakti, he has never performed service to his devotees on Goswamis in Vrindavan, then why should we follow him? Why is he an acharya? And if he is an acharya and a great soul, then why is he writing like this? Is he a liar? Is he lying? No, this is the humility of the great devotees, we should understand. in their humility, they are genuinely feeling, Narottam Das Thakur, being such a great devotee, is genuinely feeling lamentation for not doing enough. Sometimes when there is a white cloth, and on that white cloth, if there is one speck of dirt, that speck of dirt is very much visible immediately. But if there is a dustbin and you drop a speck of dirt in that dustbin, do we see that? It becomes insignificant because there is already so much dirt and abominable things around. A little bit of dust, it just gets lost in the environment. But on a white cloth, it's immediately visible. So a devotee's heart, pure devotee's heart, is like a white cloth. Even when they see others performing sense gratification, and that thought comes in their mind, just the fact that that thought came in their mind, they feel that that's like a dirt. And then because rest of it is so clean, it becomes so visible. And they feel, oh my God, my heart is so dirty. I haven't, just like these others are not worshipping, I have not worshipped Radha Krishna. I've never served the devotees. Let me do that now. At least now, for whatever moments of my life are remaining, let me serve them. Let me serve the devotees. Let me worship Radha Krishna. And they immediately feel the urgency right then. Even though they have done so much, but they still use this as a motivation to serve more. Whereas for many of us, our heart is still contaminated with pride, arrogance, ego, greed. We are attached to so many things. There is no renunciation. And when in that stage, when we see others performing sense gratification or thoughts of sense gratification come, we think, oh, it's just a thought. I didn't put it into action. And we start justifying that that's okay, you know, this is material world, these thoughts will come. And that's true. But the pure devotees, they take it as a motivation to serve Radha Krishna. Take it as an urgency to serve Radha Krishna, even though their heart is pure and clean. And through that ecstasy and through that urgency that they feel because of that thought that has come somehow or the other, they lament like this. Another reason they write is that to teach us, this is how we should think as aspiring devotees. This is how we should think. And when we read this, we see, wow, this is my exact position that they have written. And we should use this to increase our attachment. So in this song also, Narottam Das Thakur has written about Srila Bhugarbha Goswami. So this is all that is available in Bhugarbha Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote a little bit about him. Srila Narhari Chakravarti Thakur has written about him also, like that. So this is the discussion about Srila Bhugarbha Goswami. His samadhi is also there in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Let's discuss now about the glories of Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur. And Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur is considered also one of our acharyas. He was considered Leela Shuka. Leela Shuka Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Or the Shukadev Goswami of describing Krishna Leela. He actually lived, it's said that many people say that he appeared in the 8th century in the Dravida. Dravida meaning South India. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And he said that he appeared in the 8th century in South India. He was actually a chief disciple of Vishnu Swami. And there is, Prabhupada explains that in Dwarka, there is a temple, Dwarkadhish temple. In the list of temples and monasteries kept in Shankaracharya's monastery in Dwarka, Bilwa Mangal Thakur is mentioned as the founder of that Dwarkadhish temple. So, this is some description about Bilwa Mangal Thakur. His past thing. Prabhupada has also spoken about Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur in many lectures, in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita purports also. Prabhupada said that he lived for 700 years in Vrindavan. This was the life span of Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And he was a blind saint in Vrindavan, but he could actually perceive the pastimes of Krishna. Prabhupada says he was a South Indian Brahmin, very rich man, but he was also very sensuous at that time. He had one prostitute. Her name was Chintamani. He would visit her and he would like her so much that one time he was performing his father's death ceremony. And he was asking the priest, "Please, hurry up, hurry up. I have to go, I have to go." Because he wanted to go and meet Chintamani. He was rich and priestly, but he finished that business and he completed that ceremony. He took good, nice foodstuff in a bag, prasad, from that ceremony, and he wanted to go to that prostitute's house. And when he came out of his home, it was raining torrentially. Whenever it rains, we try to delay our going. But his attachment to Chintamani was so much, he did not care. He immediately went to the riverside. He had to cross a river to go to Chintamani. There was no boat because it was raining. All the boatmen stopped. But his determination to see Chintamani was unwavering. The waves were furious. But still, he thought, "I have to go to the other side. Every day I go to the other side of the river, why not today? If there are no boats available, I will swim and go to the other side." So he went to the other side. On the other hand, Chintamani was thinking, "Oh, it's raining today, so he'll probably not come." So she locked the door and she went to sleep. So after all this rain and swimming and waves, he still came to the other side all drenched, came to the house of Chintamani, saw that the door is blocked and it's raining. How can I go inside? So he saw there was a snake who was going up the wall. He caught hold of that snake and he climbed up. This was the intensity with which he was attached. And then he came on the window of the prostitute. She was like, "What? Vilva Mangala? You are here? How dare you come here like this? How did you do? How did you come here?" And he described, there was rain and I had to see you, and I swam across and there was this rope." And she said, "Which rope? What rope?" And then she saw it was a snake. She said, "All right." She kind of just put her hand on her head. "My dear Bilva Mangala, you've got so intense love for me. Had you had this love for God, for Krishna, you would have become a pure devotee. Your life would have become sublime." As soon as Bilva Mangala heard this, he was shocked. He said, "Yeah, you are right. Thank you. Thank you so much." And he immediately left. He left everything, all his riches, everything, and he went in search of Krishna to Vrindavan. And as he was going to Vrindavan, he saw a beautiful woman. Because he was practiced to that habit, and he was going behind her. And he was thinking in his mind, "I'm going to Vrindavan, and on the way I've become attracted to another woman. Chintamani told me that I should not be attracted to others. I should be attracted to Krishna. But what can I do? My heart is just going." And then when he came, the woman said to her husband, "Oh, this man is following me. Please ask, why is he following me?" So the husband came and he said, "You belong to a very aristocratic family. From your appearances, I can understand. Why are you following my wife?" So Bilva Mangal Thakur, he had the courage to say the truth. That requires a lot of courage and humility. He said, "I'm following her because I want to embrace her." This is how Srila Prabhupada describes in his lecture. And he felt, because his emotion was so genuine, his shame was also very much genuine. He felt very much ashamed. He told the lady, "Can you please give me your hairpin?" She asked, "Why?" No, "I've got some business. Give me your hairpin." She gave the hairpin by her husband's permission. And Bilva Mangal Thakur took the hairpin and gouged out his eyes. "This eye is my enemy. Because of this eyes, I'm being attracted to women and things other than Krishna." And he became blind right there. And he said, "Now I will no longer be disturbed." And in that blindness, he was performing austerity in Vrindavan. Even though he was blind externally, with his mind's eyes, he was able to see and perceive Krishna. Now, we should not completely follow this example and gorge out our eyes and not imitate Bimala Mangala Thakur, but we should try to learn the principle that we should be blind to sense gratification in this world. And keep our focus on the ABCD of spiritual life, where we have A for, you know, in childhood, ABCD means A for apple, B for boy, C for cat, D for dog. When we come to teenage years, then it becomes, ABCD becomes A for Android, B for Bluetooth, C for chat, D for drinks. And then in our old age, ABCD becomes A for arthritis, B for blood pressure, C for cholesterol, D for diabetes. But in Krishna consciousness, ABCD is A for association, B for books, C for chanting, and D for a diet, spiritual diet, just prasad. If we focus our minds just on this, then we will be able to please the Lord, we'll be able to execute the purpose of this life. So in this way, Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur, he was performing austerity in Vrindavan, and Krishna appeared, pleased by his austerity, pleased by his devotion, and said, "Why are you starving? Why don't you take some milk?" And Bilva Mangala, he was blind. He asked, "Oh, you have such a sweet voice. Who are you?" "Oh, I'm a boy of this village. I'm a cowherd boy. If you like, I can give you some milk daily." And Bilva Mangala said, "All right, that works." And every day Krishna would come and supply milk to him. That was the friendship. And that's why he has written that Mukti Swayam Mukulitash Jali Sevatesman, which means Mukti is nothing for me. We have no desire for mukti. When Krishna comes to supply milk, then what is the use of my mukti? So this is the pastime of Bilva Mangala Thakur. He was, for 700 years, he lived in Vrindavan. He wrote a very authoritative book, Krishna Karnamrita. In fact, Lord Chaitanya recommended that book to all his devotees to read Krishna Karnamrita, because in that book such nectarian pastimes of the Madhurya Ras of Radha and Krishna has been described. In fact, before, of course, in our sampradaya, the Radha Krishna Madhurya Leela, Madhurya Ras, was revealed by Srila Madhavendra Puri, the grand spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. Before then, this Madhurya Ras was not really known. But even before then was Sri Leela Shuka Bilva Mangal Thakur, who had written about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So this was a time when Vrindavan was not very well known, actually. Vrindavan is known only after the six Goswamis excavated some of the places. But Bilva Mangal Thakur was here before that. before even that. In fact, in Krishna Karanamrita, he has written in his book Sharana, he has written so many things, so many details of Radha Govinda's Vraja Leela, that is the reason he was called Leela Shuka. Shuka is Shukadev Goswami. Just like when the parrot tastes a mango, it becomes very sweet. It's called Totapuri, Totapuriyam, because it's tasted by a parrot. Similarly, when the pastimes of Krishna are tasted by the mouth, lotus lips of Shukadev, Shuka, it becomes very sweet. In the same way, Leela Shuka is given the title to Srila Bilva Mangala Thakur. Srila Prabhupada writes more about him, says that Prabhupada said he intensely desired to enter the eternal pastimes of the Lord, and he lived at Vrindavan for 700 years in the vicinity of Brahma Kunda, a still existing bathing tank in Vrindavan. The history of Bilva Mangal Thakur is given in a book called Sri Vallabha Digvijaya. So, if we go to Brahma Kund, that's where is the samadhi of Bilva Mangal Thakur, that's where he would stay. And Bilva Mangal Thakur spoke about his parampara. He said that he has written in this Sri Vallabha Digvijaya, in that he said that there was a king called Vijaya Pandya. He was in Dravida Desha. And his priest, Deva Swami, was a devotee of Vishnu, and he preached Sanatan Dharma. Deva Swami's son was Vishnu Swami. And Deva Swami, Vishnu Swami, after that Vishnu Swami's disciple was Deva Darshana, who continued in his lineage as the Acharya. His disciple was Raja Vishnu Swami. And Raja Vishnu Swami went to Dwarka and established the Dwarkadhish temple there. This Raja Vishnu Swami, he defeated all the Buddhists. He went to Prayag, and he defeated all the Buddhists. And Raja Vishnu Swami then returned to Kanchi along with his disciples. And there, his descendant was Bilva Mangal. His disciple was Bilva Mangal Thakur. So this is the lineage of parampara of Srila Leela Shuka Bilva Mangal Thakur. In the beginning of his book, Krishna Karanamrita, where he describes all these intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, he offered obeisances in the beginning to all his gurus. And first and foremost, he offered his obeisances to Chintamani, the prostitute. because she was the Vartma Pradarsha Guru. Vartma Pradarsha Guru means one who shows the path. That person may or may not be a devotee, but they inspire us in the spiritual path. Just like Srila Prabhupada was introduced by his friend Narendra. And Narendra, and Prabhupada says that Narendra was asking me to go, and my friend was asking me to go and meet Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, but I said, I've seen so many saints and sages, and they come to my house and my parents worship them, and I've seen them. I'm really not impressed by these saints. I'm just, whatever my father has taught me as a Vaishnava, I'm happy with that. I don't want to see any more gurus. And Narendra said, no, you must meet him. He's different. And he said, all right, you're telling me, I'll go. Srila Prabhupada went there, and when he heard Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati speak with such conviction, Srila Prabhupada says, then I understood that the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in very capable hands of this great saint. And there and then he accepted in his mind Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as a spiritual master. So many times, so this is Vartma Pradarsha Guru. Sometimes some of our friends, they are really not interested because they have some understanding of their spiritual life, which they have had experience. They have not yet experienced Krishna consciousness. So if we somehow or other help them to somehow bring them closer to the temple, closer to the devotees, because of the conviction of the devotees, they might become attracted. So we should not give up. We should continue trying. But such are Vartma Pradarsha Gurus. The other is Shiksha Guru. Shiksha Guru can be many. We take Shiksha from the trees. We can take Shiksha from the plants. We can take Shiksha from so many different things, as well as so many different personalities. But Diksha Guru is one. So in his book, after Chintamani, he offers his respects to his Diksha Guru, Somagiri. Somagiri was his Diksha Guru, although he was his Shiksha line was of Vishnu Swami. And then he offers respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he considers Krishna as his Shiksha Guru, because he used to, and he writes in that book, Krishna Karanamrita, that I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has a peacock feather in his crown, because the Lord of Vrindavan, Krishna, the cowherd boy, he used to come to talk to me and supply me milk. With that grateful heart, he is telling him. This is the quality of a devotee, that he is always grateful. If there are bad things happening, he is grateful. He tries to find things to be thankful for. If there are good things happening, he does not take pride in that. He is still grateful and thankful. Hastam akshipya yatosmi balat krishna kim adbhutam hridayat yadi niryasi paurusham ganayamite. Throwing off my hand, O Krishna, you've run away. What is so wonderful about that? I'll consider you strong only if you can escape from my heart. So he would have such conversations with Krishna. In fact, the opening verse of Krishna Karnamrita, the book, is also found in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Which is the Karnamrita, it says, all glories to Chintamani, all glories to my Shiksha Guru Somagiri, all glories to Lord Krishna that we just heard. The tips, his lotus bud toes are the foremost attainments always wished for by Srimati Radharani. And in this way, with thoughts of gratefulness, he would, even though he was blind, even though he had not much to eat or live by, but he was always grateful to Krishna. It is easy to be grateful and thankful when good things are happening. Although for some people that's difficult too, because it's difficult to understand that it actually happened because of me. We want to take all the credit when good things happen. When bad things happen, we try to blame Krishna. But a devotee, if good things happen, they don't take the credit. They actually give it to Krishna. Thank you. And when bad things happen, it's more difficult to be grateful. How can I be grateful if someone's house is on fire? How can that person be grateful? Should that person just sit and say, thank you, Lord, you put my house on fire? No, that's not the meaning of it. Externally, we should do things to take the fire out, do whatever that is needed. But internally, we should not be disturbed. Internally, we must offer it to Krishna. We must be thankful. We must know that because I'm in the association of devotees, Krishna is taking care of me. And if this is what Krishna is sending, this is what I need to make spiritual advancement. And let me be grateful for this mercy and allow it to come and do what it has come to do, rather than complain and bicker about it. Just accept it gratefully. And if we can be grateful in all situations, then we can become great. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions or comments, we can take now.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanvat Pranam. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji, as usual. Can you please repeat the ABCDs of spiritual life? Which I missed the A and the B. The C was chanting, D was diet, prasad.
A for association and B for books.
Books, okay. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
So, Prabhuji, when we are talking about Bhugarbha